Hello to our friends joining us live stream. I just want to let you know we are going to have class today, although we didn't start quite on time. This is our Christmas party. Everybody's just enjoying themselves with the food. So you guys on live stream, hang on about 10, 15 minutes, and we will be starting then. The rest of you, don't get quiet on me. Keep talking, keep fellowshipping, keep eating. We'll start here when we get started. Ladies and gentlemen, hello. Thank you. Welcome to the Victory Bible Class. Hope everybody's had a great morning, enjoying the food. And I know we could drag this out all class long, but we are going to have to kind of call it here. So if you're still eating, that's fine. Keep it in your seat there with you. This morning, instead of listening to me do a nugget, you're kind of getting your own nuggets back there on the back table. After this, you may want to do that every single time. I don't know. I guess we'll see how that goes, huh?
Sounds good
to me. All right. Yeah, we got one vote back here. We'll have to get that signed, sealed, and ratified, and then we'll see what happens there, Leroy. You lead it up, okay? Let me start off by giving some shout-outs to some of our internet customers, and we thank you all for joining us each week. Shout-outs to Tom and Kathy Cole, Karen and Sharon Cole, Bob Bryan and John Parter, and the Harmons, and I'm sure there's probably others. If there are, let us know. I'd like to give you a shout out. I'd like to thank you for joining us each week on the internet. Let's see. I think Kim wanted me to give somebody a shout out, but I'm going to refrain from doing that, and I really don't need to because she shouts at him enough, so I don't need to do it from here. So how's that? Is that what you told me to say? Okay, we're good. Check. All right, well, welcome to the Victory Bible Class. Thank you all for being here. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful season, isn't it? Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is..." Was Isaiah being redundant? Why did he have to say it twice? Why did you have to say that twice? Do you think we're not going to get it? Well, unto us a son is born. Where did that happen? Bethlehem. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. Where did that happen? Mount Calvary. So he kind of was being redundant in that it was the same person, but it was two different events. It's a beautiful verse, though, Isaiah chapter 9. Give out update us on our prayer requests, and then we'll go over birthdays and anniversaries, and then we will get going. All right, so here's our prayer update. Silas Shelton update, no cancer. And this is a youngster. David, how old is he? Just a year maybe, or not even?
Over a year
now. Okay. Okay. So just a young child. So that is some good news. Would you agree? No cancer. And that's been going on for a while. We have a surgery coming up on the 20th. That's, what is that, Thursday maybe?
Wednesday.
Okay. Sarah McQueen, which is Beverly and Jerry's daughter, having surgery on the 20th. Joey Green is sick at home, so we're going to remember Joey. And some of these I'm reading for the first time, so let's see. Clark Thomas is sick. Ethan Thomas is sick. Danny for health, and Gabby and Cam for health issues. All right, so there's a bunch of sicknesses right there. I've just read those off. Bill Magnus has surgery tomorrow. Bill's had some health problems for quite a while now, so it looks like he's having surgery tomorrow. And Lynn Anderson has a procedure this coming Friday. All right, so we have two surgeries this week and a medical procedure this week, and then others that are sick, and one prays. So there you go. There's our prayer list. If you have any updates that you need to make, please go stop by the back table. Make sure you always sign into the class, and you can update the prayer list. One other thing I've got to mention, I've got it written down here, so we'll not forget. We've got a card for the Rogers on the back table, the card in the basket, so if you have not stopped by there and signed that, please do that to let them know how much you appreciate their ministry here in the class. And we are collecting a gift basket for the Rogers that's also on the sign-in table. And at the time we were putting that together, we did not realize that they would not be here today. So that will be presented Wednesday night. All right. So make sure you go by and sign the card to let them know how much you appreciate them. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. Thank you for this season. Thank you that a child was born. Thank you that a son was given. Thank you for what that means. We thank you for Isaiah writing that for 700 years before it happened. Thank you that it was fulfilled exactly like Isaiah said it would be. So thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the way you've revealed yourself over all the centuries and the millennia in your word that we have in our hands today, and we can open it, we can read it, we can be blessed by it. And I want to pray your blessing on this class today. May this be a profitable time for us. I want to give you thanks that we have this time to be together today, and I want to pray for the Rogers as they're away traveling, visiting family. I want to pray for the three medical procedures that we have coming up this week. I believe two on Wednesday, one on Friday. We have others that were listed that are sick at home. We have the one praise for this young child who is cancer-free. And I know that's such a relief to that family, and so I want to give you thanks for that. So once again, bless our class today, and thank you for it. Thank you for these good people. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Mr. Jeff will be bringing our sermon today. I'll get all this stuff out of your way.
Sorry. Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning. You got full bellies. It's warm in here. Feel free to sleep. Okay. Dan didn't know this, and I didn't talk to him about it, but I'm going to be preaching out of Isaiah a little bit. So if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 12, you can turn there. This is a great time of year. You realize in 8 days, that morning, you're going to wake up and probably celebrate Christmas with your spouse or family or friends. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. And we certainly appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. The sacrifice on the cross. And when I always think about the Lord, I think about, okay, he's in heaven, he's being glorified, he's being worshiped, the angels sing praises to his name, and all of a sudden he just sets down that crown and says, you know what, someone's got to die for these sinners down here on earth, which I'm one of them. And I just think he needs all the praise in the world for doing that, because there's no other greater sacrifice. And it kind of makes me want to tear up a little bit when you think about how wonderful he is, and that the opportunity he's given us. I mean, as a child, I didn't know about that. I went around breaking all the rules in the Bible, and then finally one day, thank goodness, somebody, when I went to church, preached a hellfire and brimstone message, and I knew I was going to hell, and I loved what he said about Christ and what he did. It was a no-brainer, except for the fact that I had a lot of pride, and I was holding on to that pew all I could. And there was a man that tapped me on the shoulder in church. I'm going to tell you this. If you ever think someone's not saved in church during the invitation, don't be afraid to tap them on the shoulder. I don't care if that's old-fashioned or not. And he asked me if I was saved, and I said, no, sir, I'm not. And he said, if I went forward with you and showed you the Word of God, would you let me show you how to be saved? And he did, and I got saved. I never remembered his name because I was so excited about being saved and so excited about going home and telling my parents I got saved. I never really remembered his name, but when I get to heaven, I'll know, and I'm going to hug his neck when I get up there. I'm going to hug the Lord's neck first, if he'll let me, but I'm going to hug his neck for tapping me on the shoulder. Anyway, I want to talk to you a little about praises to the Lord. I think if you're living for the Lord and you're right with the Lord and you're serving the Lord, you're going to praise the Lord. I don't know that I see a lot of people praise the Lord. We do in church and things like this, but I can't say and speak for anybody because I don't walk around with people all day, Christians all day and everything like that. But I do know this. I praise the Lord in my car when I'm going down the road. I praise the Lord for the things that I have. I pray praising for my salvation. And I'm just wondering, do you praise the Lord? I'm not asking you to raise your hand or anything like this, but I would say this. I would say this. If you're not, you need to learn how to do that, because it's so healthy, so spiritually healthy for you to do those things. And I'm going to show you in just a minute. We're going to see the Jews here in just a minute. You know, the Jews rejected Christ. We're going to look at them here in just a minute where they finally realized that he's the Messiah, that he's the Savior. And the whole nation is rejoicing and praising his name. praising his name. In Isaiah chapter 12, 1 through 6 here, Isaiah means Jehovah's salvation. By the way, this is not just a verse, it's a song. It's a song. I'd like to tell you something to get us started, though, okay? To get you loosened up a little bit and everything. There was a poor old lady, and we're talking about praising God. There was a poor old lady who was just barely making it. She just barely had enough food in the cupboard. She just barely had enough money to pay her bills. And she was always praying, Lord, please take care of me. Please take care of me. One day she went out to the door and she looked, and it looked like three bags out there on the porch. She walked out there, looked in the bags, and there was food in there. And she said, Lord, I praise your name. Thank you for the food. Thank you so much. And the old atheist across the street that was always nagging her said, God didn't do that. I bought that for you. I bought that for you. And she looked up and said, Lord, it's a bigger miracle than I thought. I didn't even get to the punchline. Lord, you provided me the food and used the devil's money to pay for it. Okay, I can see you guys are ready to go. I like that. Two punchlines and one story. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Isaiah, let's look at verses 12 through 1. Just to give you an idea, this is the beginning of the millennium. This is where the Jews are, if you will, they're looking back and also looking forward. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou confronted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let's pray to Heavenly Father as we look into your word. Give me peace, dear Lord, as I teach what you laid on my heart. Lord, I pray when we get through here, not only will we be a people that love you, but we'll be a people that praise you. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get a drink of water here just for a minute. There was a boy that went to church with his dad. And that night, he prayed these words. Lord, I went to church today, but I sure wish you were here. I sure wish you were here. You know, I'm thankful for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, just like the rest of you. I'm thankful for a pastor who loves the Lord. I see him shaking hands with visitors. I see him shaking hands with people that don't come to church a whole lot. I see him shaking hands with anybody who'll stick a hand out. And I know that he loves people. And I know that I watch him when he praises the Lord up there, when he's sitting down up there and everything, raising his hand to a song and everything. And we should be doing those things as well. We should be praising God. I'm thankful for Dan and the music. When you come to this church, the music isn't dead. I think if there's enough of us in this church that you can tell the Lord's presence there. I think Dan does a great job of preparing for the sermon, with the music, and I'm really, really thankful for that. I like a church here where preaching is king and music is queen, and that's the way the Lord planned it. We are very, very fortunate people, and because of that, we should always praise the Lord for that and lift the Lord up because of his church. Now, I've probably been in more independent churches than anybody here. I would venture to say nobody's been in as many independent churches. They've all been good, and they have good singing, and they have good preaching. And I'll say this, we've really got good preaching, and we've really got good singing in this church, and I'm thankful for the Lord for it. It's a good place to be. Charles Jefferson, in the late 1800s, he was a clergyman. He said this. He said, if more Christians would praise God, the world would doubt him less. And I believe that's true. Do people where you work, where you live? Do they know you, know the Lord? Do you praise the Lord? Do you tell them how good God is? Because everything that you say about the Lord, if it's positive and it's good, and if it's a praise, you know what? That's what you're supposed to do. That's praising the Lord. I know that I believe that a lot of times, because I know in my Christian life, I always said, man, I'd like to have a more outward way of showing people that I love the Lord. But you know what? Telling people about Christ shows that you love the word, Lord. That's in a sense, that's a praise. Talking to them about Jesus, talking to them about how God's blessed you. But those are the things that count. Praise is boasting about what we enjoy. And for the Christian, the greatest gift we ever got is worth boasting about. I'd like for you to remember that word boasting, because you're going to see it in a verse here shortly. Now back to the verse here. We see the converted Jews and their praises to God in the future millennium. And we know that the Jews as a nation rejected Christ as God and their Savior. In Isaiah 12, here we see them reflecting back on history. Notice that they mentioned in verse 1, it says here that thou was angry with us. Okay? He's not angry with them right now. They're fellowshipping in this verse. They're praising God in this verse. But they reflected back to he was angry with us. You know, Israel, I don't care what the world tries to do. I don't care if they try to wipe them off the map. I know from God's promises, Israel's God's to do with what he pleases. That's just it. They're God's people. There's a promise made by God, and nobody's going to touch them but God. But they have really been through it because of their rejection of Christ. And it says right here, it says they were angry with him. The word anger here is God's wrath, his wrath. That tells me when I read the Bible, and I'm going to give you just a quick thought here. God just gave it to me. I was told one time to read the Old Testament and the nation of Israel as if they were one person. And God really dealt with Israel just like he deals with us. When we don't live for God and we let filth into our life, God comes and he chastens us and tries to get us to do what's right. And that's kind of what he did with Israel. Captivity freed up. Captivity freed up. And the Christians are like that. Sometimes we're just walking and we're joyful and we're praising God. And other times we're down and we forget about him. We get caught up in our own self-pity. And it makes reading the Old Testament that much better when you do it. But think about this for a minute. Who are they dealing with now? Hamas. What about the Holocaust? And World War II and the six million Jews that were killed. They've got the tribulation period to go through. And all the things that are going to happen there. But in these scriptures, it says, and then thou was not angry with us. They're going into the millennium. There was the 144,000 Jews that were sealed and preaching the gospel. And all these saved people are going to the millennium. And they're going to be rejoicing and they're going to be praising God and lifting him up. In verse 1, they are praising the Lord. And I might add, by the way, at that particular time, we're going to be praising the Lord as well. We're going to be with the Lord. So it's a good time to just start right now and say to yourself, hey, look, I want to praise the Lord more. I want to give God more thanks for the things that he does. I'm not saying that you don't do that. I'm saying if you do that now, I just hope this encourages you. If you try to do it, I hope this makes you want to do it. Because praise of the Lord is very important. In verse 1, it says this, I will praise thee. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's a good challenge for every one of us, to be honest with you. Being willing to praise the Lord throughout the day. We have an obligation to praise him with our whole being. Bad or good, we need to praise the Lord. I remember There was a, well, I'm going to say this. There's a man that told me once, I heard a man say this, it's hard, the hardest thing to do is to fall on slippery ice and then get up and praise God. Me and my wife, when we got married, we went to the Poconos. Anybody go to the Poconos when they got married? Back in the day, it was real popular for the older folks. I don't know. No. Nobody went. Okay, never mind. Too far north or something. But we went to the Poconos. Anybody here remember the 60s? 60s, okay, all right, you know. I'm not going to use all those terms that they had, but I was just a little impressionable kid, and I heard them all. My sister was running with the hippies. My dad was in Vietnam, so I got to see the whole shebang explode in my house, you know, the conflicts and things. But shag carpet was big with them. And shag carpet, when we went to the Poconos, there was shag carpet all over that floor, all over the ceilings. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I asked my wife, I don't know how many times, hey, honey, would you like to go back there? I'd like to go back there for a honeymoon and do all those things we did. And she says, no, I don't want to go back. So I'm not going back, and I'm not going by myself. But one of the things you could do there, and you could do a ton of things there. I mean, there was just tons of things to do. You could ice skate. So we went to the ice skating ring, put our skates on. And I thought she did pretty good. She said she was struggling, but, you know, I was an athlete. I was going to be able to ice skate. If I could roller skate like I could ice skate. And I got out there and ice skated, got a little too fast. My legs, big old legs, went up, flying up, and I landed on that ice on my back and side, and it knocked the wind out of me. And I was going so fast, the only thing I could do was just wait till I slid across there and ran into the wall. So, and it hurt. It hurt. And I was thinking about this. The saying that this guy had, I don't know. You're supposed to get up and praise God after that happens. I think I have to think like the guy who was robbed. When he was robbed and he stole his money and everything, and he was robbed at gunpoint and everything, I remember a few things he said. He said, one, I'm glad I wasn't doing the robbing. I praise God I wasn't doing the robbing. I praise God it was only my money that he took, not my life. And I praise God I don't have that kind of attitude. So there's always something to praise God about. I guess I could praise God that I'm glad I didn't crack my head on the ice. So you see what I'm saying? There's reasons to pray God. I know we go through bad times. I know people are hurting. But you've got to look for the praise in there. You got to look for the praise in there. And there's always something to praise. You know, it's not like the lady who shouted, praise the Lord for my groceries. You're not going to do that when something bad happens to you or you smash your finger with a hammer. But the thing is, you've got to look at something, the bright things inside of it. You know, even when your hand's swelling and everything like that, at least, you know, you just have to put some ice on it. You don't have to take it to the hospital and pay that high doctor bill. There's always something you can find out about, think about, and praise God for. I'm not saying it's easy, but I want you to listen to Psalms 103:1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hear that? All that is in me. God just wants the best you've got to bless him. It doesn't have to sound right. It doesn't have to sound good. He knows whether you're praising him or you're not praising him. This is Christmas time. This is a great time when we think about the birth of Christ to just get excited about the Lord. Get excited about praising his name. You know, I feel guilty sometimes when I walk by a store and I'm picking out groceries, and a lady asked me the other day, she said, because everybody likes to use me when I'm in the store, they'd really like you, Brother Larky, but they like to pick me out there and pick their stuff off for them and everything. But I did that for one lady, and she says, you have a Merry Christmas and God bless you. Why didn't I say that first? You know, why didn't I say that first? But she said it first, and I felt guilty. Why? Because I was thinking about what I needed, what I wanted, and I wanted to get out of Walmart and all that other stuff. And she was thinking about the Lord while she was buying her groceries. Shame on me. She made me feel guilty. And it's easy to get that way. Anyway, God was angry. Then his anger went away and his comfort came. And I know this for a fact as a Christian, and so do you. The best way to praise God is to be in the will of God. To be as close to God as you possibly can. Then you have the comfort of God. Then you have the peace of God. And then you'll feel the need to praise God and lift him up. The only way you can do that is by staying in the Word, staying close to God, and realizing, hey, the only thing that's important in this world is living for the Lord. Because the Jews are going to be praising God in the millennium. We're going to be with them praising God. And praising God, if that's important, then I want to praise God, and you should want to praise God as well. It is better to shout than to doubt. It is better to rise than fall. It is better to let the glory out than to have no glory at all. If I've learned one thing about people, they don't care what I've done or what I haven't done. People today are more self-consumed than I've ever seen them in my entire life. Everyone here would probably agree. Kids today, grandkids, maybe our kids, maybe our grandkids, they don't know how to say yes, sir, no, sir. They don't know how to be polite. They haven't been taught not to run in the church. I know it's just a building, but they don't need to be running in the church. They need to learn respect. We've lost it. We can blame it on the generation behind us, but it could have been us that failed. Could be somebody else that failed. But our kids need to learn how to praise God. They need to learn how to act right, live right, and talk right. We don't want to lose that. I'm afraid that what they're doing can affect us and take our eyes off the Lord. This world is getting crazy. It's angry. It's an angry world. I got a message on anger that I think is really good. But this is an angry world. And because of that, we easily, and because the TV has so much input on us and cell phones, we can easily take our focus off the Lord and never want to praise the Lord and forget about praising Him. We should never go a day where we don't praise the Lord, in my opinion. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Look at that if you would, please. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." We see here a wonderful truth. God is my salvation. You could do a whole sermon here, a great sermon. There's tons of sermons out of this chapter. That's how powerful this chapter is. You could do one on the Lord's strength, the song of salvation, salvation itself. And I just want to touch on a couple of things. When I think of the strength of God's strength, I think of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bad or good, I can praise the Lord. I have the strength in me to praise God, and so do you. 93-year-old lady in a nursing home. Sitting in her nursing home. Every once in a while, they said she'd sit down in a chair. And when she'd sit down in the chair, she'd say, "I just want to praise God for my one tooth in my upper gum and my other tooth in my lower gum, and that they match so I can chew my food." Now, folks, that's praise. She found something to praise about. She can complain about all the other teeth missing, but she praised God. We've got to get off the negative and get on the positive about being Christians for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of the song, I think of all the musicians in Scripture. But there's one in particular, and everyone here might be even thinking that same person. His name was David. I want to hear David play the harp when I get to heaven one day. 1 Samuel 16:23, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took on the harp and played with his hand, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." This must have been some mighty fine plan. Now, music and we don't get along. When I wasn't saved, I didn't like music. I didn't even like the world's music. I had no rhythm. I couldn't sing. I have no musical talent. I just didn't like music. And I was a pretty rough kid. My dad even tried to get me to play a clarinet. I said, that was the biggest mistake he ever made. I don't have much musical talent. But I will say this, being you're all here, if you'll remember this, my wife hopefully will do it. If my wife passes with me.